Okay, we're holding on some Chesim and Days, five lines from the bottom. Still in the middle of discussing the Gemara's various lists of medical conditions and remedies for them. So, the Gemara continues, Mitzimra Bara, for an external fever, so either that means like the outside of the person's body feels hot and the inside is not, or it means maybe some kind of like blisters or some such thing. Take three sa'ah of date kernels, or tlasi grivi atra of adra, and three sa'ah of leaves of adra, the name of a tree. You might mention it in a few places, Yisrael Ager and Mendeta and some other places, the big imposing kind of tree. I've seen various translations of what it is in modern terms. Anyway, Riddish Lakino Kochab Bechode, cook up each one separately, so the date kernels separately and the leaves separately. The lace of Venayu, then the person should sit between the two containers. The lisvina vatarki mishikli, put the two soups that you boiled up over there into two containers. The nasi soda vanana chilave, take a table and place the containers with the two soups on top of them. The neku milavehai, you should stand on top of one. The loisiv ilavehai, and then pour some of the one over him. So he's standing over the date one, and they pour over him some of the leaf one. Umilavehai, the loisiv ilavehai, and then sit on top of the other one, and they pour on him some of the others. Or maybe it means you should get up from one and sit down on top of the other, go back and forth, whatever it is. Ad the nesek behevla until he starts sweating, until steam starts coming off him, which is that'll be good for him, the sweating. The lischi minayu, and then he should bathe in these waters. The chishasi, and then when he drinks afterwards, it actually quotes from the Gemara and Shabbos that after you've bathed in hot water, it's good to drink some hot water.
Sauna,
basically, yeah. So when you're drinking, minayu de adra lishti, minayu de sufla loy lishti. Only drink from the water with the adra leaves. Don't drink from the water with the date pits in it. Mishum de ma'achri, because it can cause a person to become sterile. Next one, the simra gavna. For gavna on the face of it, since we just had simra bara, which is an external fever, then gavna on the face of it maybe should really be gava, which would be an internal fever. Or maybe gavna means colors, so maybe it means like spotted fever, or measles, or scarlet fever, or some such thing. Anyway, leisi shiva buni desilka mishev mishari, take seven handfuls of beets that grew in seven different plots of land. Vinishlapinu basrayu, cook them up with the dirt that still came up with them when you plucked them out of the ground, v'nechol v'nishti, and eat and drink, v'nechol, and eat some of it, v'nishti atraf adra b'shichra, and then along with them, drink either beer that has leaves of adra in it, the adra tree that we just mentioned before. I've seen
one translation
that's Spanish juniper. I don't remember what other. Apparently it's something in the greater family of cedars, or at least what the Gemara considers to be cedars, which is more generally hardwood trees. And the Gemara mentions it as like it's a big imposing tree. The Gemara says in basic Yitzhak an Eder, plant an Eder tree on your property, and then it'll be like a landmark. Everybody knows this land belongs to you. Either that, or he should drink water in which they soaked grapes that grew on a grapevine that was trained onto a palm tree. Grapevines, you know, when they grow, they either grow all over the ground, or you train them on something, so they grow upward. So you can train them onto a palm tree. This is what we're talking about. So you'd have grapes that were trained onto a palm tree. Put those in water and drink that with this mixture. Maybe the idea is it absorbs something from the palm tree. I don't know. Next one, lachazazisa, so chazazis, which for chazazis, which actually translates as yalefes, it's a skin disease mentioned in a couple of places in the Torah. The Gemara explains in various places that it's a skin disease where the outside of it is moist and the inside of it is dry. It's basically incurable, although here the Gemara is going to give a cure for it. I'm sure it corresponds to some kind of skin inflammation nowadays. I don't know exactly. Leite shev chiti arzenaita. Take 7 large kernels of wheat. V'niklinu amora chatsa. Toast them on a new metal spade. So you take the spade and use it as like a pan to roast them on it. V'nafik mishkaminayu. Then oil will come out of them because seeds contain oil in them. V'nishuf, and then rub that on your skin.
Amora, in Hebrew, is what?
Amora, I mean on a spade or a hoe. A spade, or a hoe, whatever, some kind of metal tool that's used for digging, yeah. So a new one, so the oil that comes out, rub that on your skin. I think Mara tells, Rav Shimi Ba'ashi, Ovid Le'lavu, Eved Kachavim, Dava Acha. Rav Shimi Ba'ashi one time did this treatment for a guy who was suffering from Dava Acha, namely Tzaras, the Itzi, and he was healed. Which, Tosfos brings up the question, the Gemara tells us in Avodah Zarah that it's not so simple to heal a Goyan over Avodah Zarah. So how is Rav Shimi Ba'ashi doing it? But Tosfos gives 3 answers. One is Rav Shimi Ba'ashi was doing it for practice, so eventually he'll know how to do it for a yid as well, sort of like nowadays when doctor is an intern or whatever and they learn how to do procedures. Number 2, the guy knew that Rav Shimi Ba'ashi knew this thing, and if he doesn't do it for him, there's going to be a problem with Ava. The guy is going to have bad feelings to him, which could end up just kind of causing trouble for Jews. No, but that's the thing. To even as a doctor, to do it for an Ovid of a Chazon is not so simple. We'll learn about it in Avodah Zarah in a couple of years. Then Tosfos says the 3rd answer. The real problem the Gemara mentions there in Avodah Zarah is from a gadol ben lavodis kachadim. For example, the Gemara says over there that a Jewish midwife can't assist an avodis kachadim in giving birth, because then what are you doing? You're causing that a new child is going to be born who's going to wind up worshiping Avodah Zarah. Here, that's not an issue. The guy is alive anyway. Okay, he's suffering from tzaras. He's still alive. He's still capable of having children, etc. So it's not really an issue. So that's another answer. Is that another answer, which one of the Achronim gives, is that maybe that issue is only if the guy's actually Ovid Avodah Zarah. This guy may have been a guy who's not Ovid Avodah Zarah. There were such in those days. So yeah, then that's another possibility. Yes.
Your midwife. I mean, she's having a baby, she'll have a baby without the woman helping. I mean,
but that's the point. You're helping, basically. So whatever the Gemara
again.
Okay, again, the Gemara talks about over there, if it's from Ava, then it's allowed, and there's various other considerations. Yeah. Omer Shmuel, Haiman de Mahule Ba'alunchi de Farsali, if somebody was struck with a Persian spear, now the Persians, when they made their spears, Rashi explained that whenever you forge metal, you heat it up, you hammer it out, or whatever in shape, and then you dip it in water to quench it, to harden it. They used to dip it in water mixed with poison in order to make them lethal. Other Mephoshim say that after they were made, they dipped it in poison, whatever. No, why?
No,
you're quenching it, you're cooling it off, so therefore it absorbs the poison. Okay, other Mephoshim say maybe they dipped it in poison after the fact, whatever. Anyway, Michya Lechaya, a person who's struck with such a thing is not going to survive because he's going to be poisoned. I saw another explanation also, maybe it was just saying clean the tips of them afterwards, the guy would get tetanus. You know, nowadays you'd give him a tetanus shot, and they didn't have that. Ad hachi v'hachi, meanwhile, before the guy dies, nispele bitzv shmena agumri v'chamra chaya, at least, meanwhile, give him fat meat roasted on the coals and undiluted wine. That's not going to cure him, but efshe v'chaya kurta, it may help that he'll at least be able to live a little longer. Umafkina basis, he'll be able to write out a will and tell his family what he wants done within the chassim. Chamra chaya means undiluted wine.
Undiluted.
Yeah. Another.
Good wine.
Yes, yeah. Similarly, the Gemara says, Amr of Yidivar, and Haiman de Bola Zibura, if a person swallows a Zibura, which means a bee or a wasp, some creature of that sort, again, Michil Echaya, again, he's not going to survive it. Same thing. Adahachi Vahachi Nashki Revius Adachala Shamzag. Meanwhile, at least give him to drink a Revius of strong vinegar. Same thing. It won't cure him, but after the Chayeporta or Machi Labese, it may give him long enough to live that he'll be able to at least write out, he'll be able to at least give last instructions to his family. Interesting thing. I've heard him talk about the question, what does the Gemara need to say that for? I mean, every moment of life is precious. You learn in Yom Kippur, for example, you can be Mechal Shabbos to save a person's life for a few extra seconds. So what does the Gemara need to tell us over here because maybe he should have a chance to write up some? And I say because we're talking about it here, the Gemara, the guy is suffering tremendous pains. if it weren't for the issue of giving him a chance to write a will, maybe you would say, you know what, fine, you're not allowed to euthanasia in halacha, chas v'shalom, but not necessarily give him something which all it's going to do is going to prolong his pain. The only reason to do it is give him a chance to give his last words to his family. I'm going to be sure, maybe. If a person eats beef together with lefet, which is turnip, the longa lavona, and then he sleeps outside in the moonlight, the lele yudalad etesvav v'tkufas tamuz, on the night of the 14th to the 15th night of tkufas tamuz of the summer, achaste achilu, then he's going to be seized by achilu. Tomorrow we'll explain in a few lines what achilu is. It basically is bad for you. Tana, and we learn in a b'raisa, the hamamalik trace in the cold over. As a matter of fact, if a person fills up his stomach with any kind of food, even if you have any kind of food which is tasty, and a person eats as much as he wants from it, that also creates the same problem. Achaste achilu, he also gets seized with this disease achilu. Amar papa achilu mitamri, and the papa says that applies even if you fill up on dates. Pshita, of course, he said anything. Why would you think dates should be an exception? The reason is Safadat Hamina, because you might think to say, Hova Omamar, since we learned in a Gemara, we learned in Ksubas last year, Tamri Misabon, that dates are a good thing for you, they fill you up, or Meshachnon, they warm up your body, or Meshalshalon, they make a person's bowels loose, so he's not constipated, or Ma'ashran, they strengthen a person, or Lema Fankon, and they don't make a person sort of, Rashi says, Leah Istinis, to be delicate, so meaning like it doesn't make a person have finicky taste. So like maybe a person doesn't get addicted to it or whatever. Anyway, so they're very good for you. So Amalo, you might think they're an exception. Go ahead and fill up on them. They're not so bad for you. Kamash Malon, that's the chiddush, that's the same that applies to them as anything else.
Too much of anyone.
So yeah, in fact, the Rambam writes that he'll say it's too much. The Rambam writes outright that most diseases that come on a person are from eating too much. My achilu. So okay, what achilu? I'm gonna buy eish shalat somas. It means a fire in the bones. My eish shalat somas. I'm gonna buy eish gami, which is literally eish gami is just the translation in Aramaic of the word eish shalat somas. Rashi doesn't explain over here what it is, but the Gemara mentions achilu and brachas as well. Rashi translates over there with a term that basically amounts to an inflammation of the bone marrow. And they have a term for it in modern medicine. It's called osteomyelitis, I think, or something. It's an infection of the bone marrow. I guess it's called H. shalatoma. So H. garmi, I guess it feels like a fire in the bone. Anyway. Okay. My asvase, how do you cure a person with that? Amar Abayas. Abayas says, by way of introduction, Amrili Aim, my mother, which we learned the other day really means a stepmother, told me, Kulu shakyone, all kinds of drinks that a person drinks as a refuah, all kinds of medical drinks. The usual rule is tlasa. Some of them you're meant to take for 3 days, the shiva, or 7 days, the tresa, or 12 days. This one is an exception. The medicine that you're supposed to take for achilu, you have to keep taking ad mitzi until you get cured. Another difference, kula shakyani al libere kona, all other medicinal drinks you're supposed to drink on an empty stomach. This one you have to first eat and drink, go to the bathroom, the nafik, come out of the bathroom, and wash your hands. Only then can you take this medicine. What is it? They bring you a handful of shisa made out of lentils. Shisa is a drink they mention in various places in Shas. Basically, they would take flour, in this case lentil flour, mix it with some kind of liquid, water, vinegar, it talks about in different places in Shas, and also some salt, and they drink it. I guess it was sort of like maybe a very thin oatmeal, I don't know. Anyway. So a handful of that, ubuna de chamra atika, and a handful of old wine, v'nigbalinu bahadi adadi, and then knead them together, v'nechol, and then eat it, v'nichrach bisdine, then the person should wrap himself in his blanket, v'nigne, and lay down to sleep. V'lekta de noikme ad de koi minapshe. Nobody should wake him up from that until he wakes up on his own. The point is that he'll be sleeping over there wrapped up in the blanket, he'll sweat, and that sweating is good for him, but don't interrupt the process by waking him up. The chikoi, when he wakes up, lishkalele sedimine, should take the blanket off him. The iloy, and if he doesn't hadir ilave, then the disease may come back. Maybe the idea is the sweat, you sweat it out, whatever you had in you, you know, now if you wrap yourself in it again, you're going to reabsorb it. I don't know. So now the Gemara is going to go on to some more general, some more general health advice, not specific conditions like we had in Chol, like we had last block and a half, but rather more general statement. Amaleila yolod of nothing. Achol shlish ushseishlish v'hanach shlish. Eat one third or about one third of your stomach's capacity. Drink one third v'hanach shlish and leave one third empty. Why? L'shaticha is because that way, when you get angry, like you see your stomach that's full of anger, or to put it in other terms, your stomach shrinks, sort of, tamud amiluach, then you'll be full. Whereas if you eat your full stomach's capacity, you get angry, your stomach is going to shrink, and you're going to collapse. Tonir apriya, ha-roitza shalayogu l'deichoy l'mi'ayim, if somebody wants to not have stomach trouble, yehi rogu b'tzibu kayetz v'choyra, if you should get used to dipping his food, Rashi says, for example, bread dipped in wine or in vinegar or whatever, a person should get used to that.
Can you do that
also? Yeah. Not in hot liquids is a different question for the bishul, but they were talking in cold wine or vinegar.
Yeah.
So do that kayetz v'chorda for both summertime and wintertime. And he also said, Ruchia, sudos chashana osa mimena, a suda that you're having a lot of hana from, that you're enjoying a lot. Mishaych yodcha mimena, pull your hands back from it. Don't eat a full stomach sort of it. Interesting thing, by the way, the Minchas Alazar says this is one of the sources maybe for the concept of shirayim. We know in the Chassidish Welt, a Rebbe eats his food and all Chassidim go and grab the rest. Why? Based on this. We're saying that have a little escafia. Don't eat everything that's in front of you. So when the tzaddik does that, he's grabbing the escafia. He's leaving the rest of it. Is all there for carbon. So everybody wants a piece of the carbon.
You always eat a cookie.
Yeah. Yeah. Also, he continues. Valtasha atmecha b'shacha tzarich l'nkavecha. Don't ever wait. Don't ever hold yourself back when you have to go to the bathroom. When you gotta go, you gotta go. You know that. In fact, this is not just a piece of medical advice. This is actually halacha. You're not allowed. It's halacha because there's a pasuk that says bal tashatzu, that you're not allowed to make yourself disgusting. In context, it means only shrutin. But we learn from it also an iser to make yourself disgusting by holding it in when you have to go to the bathroom. Omar Rukva, Haiman de shoti tulya chivra. Somebody who drinks white tulya. Rashi says that tulya is a bad quality wine. I don't know, sour. I mean, actually, someplace else mentions that it's not quite sour, but it has like a strong, almost vinegary taste.
Right.
Maybe it means sparkling wine. I don't know. Anyway, whatever. Person drinks that, a chazdei vitik. He will be seized by vitik. It actually says vitik means weakness. The Aruch brings an interesting possibility. In Greek, the word for tuberculosis, in ancient Greek, the word for it is something like phthisis or something like that. In English, you can find the word in dictionaries also, tisis, it's pronounced nowadays, whatever, anyway. He associates it, that might be vitic over here. Maybe vitic means tuberculosis. Anyway.
This is a general...
It's a general term for like a wasting away, yeah. Anyway. Turn it up. Amar of Chista, shitin mine chamra havu, there were 60 kinds of wine. Malya de kulu sunkur rechsana, the best kind is a fragrant red wine.
Green.
Sunkur means red. Rechasana means that it's fragrant, it has a good smell. Griya de kolo tiliachibra, and the worst kind is this white tilia that we just mentioned. Amr of Yehuda, another thing that can lead to vitik. Haiman de yosef de tipaune nisen gabinura, a person who sits on a nisen morning by the fire, the shayef mishcha, and he rubs his skin with oil, as they used to do in those days, the nafik de yosef de shimcha, and then he goes and sits out in the sun, a chaz de vitik, he'll also be seized by this weakness or tuberculosis or whatever it is. And more things, turn it up on him. Hik is dam the shibish mitase, if somebody has blood let, and then he has relations, having led bonim vitkin, then he's going to have children who are susceptible to vitik. He kizur shnei b'shimshu with both the husband and the wife let blood and then they had relations having learned bonim bali rasan and they're going to have children who suffer from rasan. We learned in Ksubas, Rashi brings it over here that rasan is a disease where the person has an insect in their brain and it causes skin problems, it causes their noses running, it causes a variety of symptoms that the Gemara mentions over there. The Gemara mentions over there that there's 24 kinds of tzaras, rasan is the worst of them. It's the kind that the parah from Abraham and Sarah's times was struck with when he kidnapped Sarah and brought her.
sleepy malaria?
Maybe, I don't know. The Gemara says it's quite dangerous and contagious. So yeah, in that sense, I suppose it could be malaria is contagious. So yeah, maybe. Anyway, whatever it is, it's a dangerous kind of thing. It has, the Gemara mentions over there, it has effects. The person is bad for a person who has Rasan. It's really bad for them to have relations, which is why Parai then was stricken with it, so he doesn't touch Sara. Anyway. This is only talking about this business about letting blood and then having relations. The husband, or the husband and the wife, is only if after letting blood you didn't taste anything. But if you taste it, something like nowadays, when you go and give blood, they have orange juice and cookies and whatever, less one blood and there's no problem. More things on this. Say if somebody comes home from a trip and then right away has relations, also have him like Bonim Viskin, he's also going to have children who suffer from Vitek. Say somebody who comes out of the bathroom, he should not have relations until he waits the time it takes to walk a half a mil. So a mil is 18 minutes, so 9 minutes. Because the shed from the bathroom comes along with him. Well, the truth is, even, I don't know, maybe, I mean, Morgan Avraham actually brings it. The shed business, maybe. Yes, it's out in the field, that's true. It doesn't necessarily apply to modern bathrooms, but still, in the Morgan Avraham brings the Shulchan Aruch based on this, that yes, after you've gone to the bathroom, you should wait a bit before having relations. And not necessarily a shed per se, but at least, you know, the Koyach HaTumah is not with you, or the relations are supposed to be a time of Kedusha. Beim Shimish, and if a person does have relations under those conditions, having like Bonim Nichtim, then he's going to have children who are susceptible to epilepsy. Somebody who has relations standing up, he's going to be seized with avis. Rashi says it's cramps. I don't know whether that means he will or the children are susceptible to it, but Pashto is him, because otherwise it would have said having like Bonim or whatever. Yeah. Miyushav, if he has relations sitting down, then he will be struck with delaria. Delaria, the Gemara is going to talk about again in a couple of lines. The Gemara is going to talk about it in a couple of lines. Some Mephoshim say it means diarrhea. The Aruch says that it means the person is constantly yawning. It's an Aramaic word, I don't know. And also, if they have relations and she's on top and he's on bottom, unlike the usual way, also echaz the delaria. He also gets seized by delaria. My delaria. So what is delaria? And the Gemara leaves the question unanswered. So apparently they didn't know the answer. However, Amar Rabbi Shur ben Levi, sam delaria darjana. The cure for delaria, maybe the idea is from the cure you can deduce what kind of disease it is. Anyway. So he says the cure for delaria is dardara. My dardara. I'm going to buy a marika de choichi. The saffron that grows, choichi literally means thorns, so it could mean saffron that grows among the thorns. It actually explains differently, though. It means saffron that grows in earth, in soil, that was fertilized with sheep droppings. I guess then there's better quality stuff, because there's more nutrients in there in the ground. So the Gemara tells Rabbi Pop, what? And so then according to that, so delaria is either, again, it's either diarrhea or chronic yawning. Okay. Rabbi Papa Ali Suvolale, so when Rabbi Papa was suffering from delaria, he would chew this dardara stuff and swallow it. Because he figured, I guess, that the medical properties of it is, you need to absorb them. Rapapi alis the shabile. Rapapa would just chew it and spit it out, because I guess he figured you'll get enough of it out that way. Omer Abaya, another thing. Misheini boki b'derecheret. Somebody who is incapable of derecheret. Derecheret is one of the euphemisms used often in Shas for marital relations. So it means the person doesn't have koyach, gvuras anashim, as it's called in Shulchan Aruch and in other places. So the person doesn't have the capability of it. You should take three kapiza. It actually says that kapiza is three revias. Some other mafoshim say that revias over here actually means logim. So we're talking three logim, about three pints, let's say. Kutumi, the same stuff that we just mentioned, saffron that grows among the thorns or that grows in a fertilized field. Vinidukinu, crush them finally. Vindidukinu, crush them, grind them, vindishal kinu b'chamra, cook them in wine, vindishti, and drink it. And Amar Rav Yochanan, hein hechzirunin l'naruthi. This concoction returned me to my youth. It gave me back, yes. Yes.
She loved the saffron in wine.
The Gemara says, Shloshet varim achishin kosher shalotim. There's three things that weaken a person's strength. Elohim, pachad derech v'avayin. Fear. For example, Rashi says a person is nervous about their panasa, or a person is afraid of enemies. So that derech, going on a long journey. V'avayin and aveiros. The Tosfos says doesn't necessarily mean the aveiros itself. It means either fear of. It means fear. Of the punishment that's going to come to him as a result of the aveira. So Rashi says we don't mean the punishment la'asid lobe. We don't mean the punishment. We don't mean the ruchniyus punishment. We mean, for example, the Gemara someplace else that mentions that a person does certain kinds of aveira gets the disease called hidroika. We talked about it back then. The person's body swells up and retains water basically. So therefore, when a person is nervous about that he's committed these averus, I'm going to have that, and everybody's going to see what I've been doing. That's what we mean by all that. We see that from Sukkim. Pachad d'ktiv libi scharchar zavani kochi. David HaMelech says in Tehillim, my heart is scharchar, which Rashi explains means surrounded, like I'm surrounded by worries, and therefore zavani kochi, my strength has left me. Maybe. No, because this isn't Ovin, this is Daga. This is, for example, David is throughout his life is being pursued by his enemies. By Shoal, by Doeg, but yeah.
No,
Pachad, Derech, Ovin. Each one is a separate thing. The Pachad, yeah. Derech, Dichtiv, Ina, Baderech, Koiche. The Pasuk says, he afflicted my strength on the road, on the way. And Ovin, Dichtiv, Koshob, Ovin, Koiche, another Pasuk in Tehillim that says my strength has faltered because of my Avera. Yeah, maybe that means Avera Bashavaya. Then is the Gemara. Shloshet Dvarim Matizin Gufei Shalodim. There's three things that weaken a person's body. Matizin literally means cut off. So on the side of it here, it says another Gersa, Matishin, weaken. Ve'evahin, Ochal Me'umar, if a person eats standing up. Ve'shasam Me'umar, or drinks standing up. Ve'shimish Me'chasam Me'umar, or has relations standing up. But those things weaken a person. And in fact, it's growth. I mean, technically, then we're saying about you eating and drinking, we're talking about large quantities. We're not talking about you just take a snack or something. However, it is growth that the Arizal, based on this Gemara, was very careful to always fit when he ate and drank. Chamishet Krevin L'misa Yosem Enachayim. There's five things that if a person does them, he's closer to death than to life. Meaning they weaken a person or even more than that. Ve'elohen, ochal v'omad, if a person eats and right away stands up. Shasa v'omad, he drinks and right away stands up without even waiting a little bit. Hik is dam v'omad, he lets blood and right away gets up. Yoshin v'omad, sleeps and right away gets up. Shemesh v'chasi v'omad, who has relations and right away gets up. Interesting about that fourth one, Yoshin v'omad, you know, Shulchan Aruch it says that Amad brings it's brought now. But that is Shulchan Aruch brought all over. That you know, when you wake up, you're supposed to wake up right away. You're laying there in front of the king. You know, what are you lolling around in bed for? How does that fit Targum Aruch over here? The answer is you get up. You still, once you wake up, you wait a second, take time to say Modani. Yeah, you sit up. You say then you get up. Don't just jump out of bed immediately because
there was a medical report that came out that the time they said to say major adenoids, that was the proper time you need in getting out of bed.
Waking up.
You shouldn't jump out and just put in bed a few seconds. About the time that the state to say major
adenoids.
Very nice. Okay.
No, that was three. Your shloshet dvarim achishim kosher shalotim. Yeah, pachad. Yeah.
No,
pachad derech v'avayin. That's three. Continuing. By the way, Tosfos points out doesn't mean if you do all five of these things then you're kodav l'misa yosem v'nachayim. I mean any one of these five. Yeah. Shisha oisos in miyad mes. There's six things which a person does them he right away dies, and here it does mean all six of them, as we'll see in the continuation of Gemara. Somebody who comes home from a trip and is tired from the walk, hit his dam, he has bloodlet, he goes into the bathhouse, which is where it's very hot. The shofts of an ishtaka, he drinks and gets drunk. The yashin agabekarka, he sleeps on the ground. The shimish mitasa, and he has relations. So that the combination of those two, of those six things, it kills the person. Yeah, this is only if you do those things in that those six things in that order. Amar Abaya, the difference is kesidron mes. The person does them exactly in that order, then he's going to die. Shaloi kesidron cholish. But even doing them out of order is no good. It'll weaken a person.
Still better than dying,
but. Someone says, you need, is that really so, that you need all six of them to kill a person? Ma'uras, but there was a lady named Ma'uras, Avdalela Abda Tlasminayo, she did three of these things to her, so she had her slave do three of these things, Umis, and then he died. So you see, even three is enough. That guy was weak. A normal person, it would take all six to get him. A weak person, yeah, three of them is enough. There's eight things where a lot of them is no good for you, but a little bit is good. Derech, a road to walking in moderate amounts, maybe 6 miles a day, Lamazagin, is good for you. But I'm joking. But a moderate amount of walking is good for you. But yeah, the derech eretz, relations, osher, riches. Too much of it, Rashi says, is no good. You get distracted from learning Torah, you get proud. Ben Yehoyada also adds, you have too much wealth, and you have all kinds of worries. Umalacha and work. Ben Yehoyada has an interesting take on that. He says, it doesn't mean working stamp. It means working in the sense like a person learns different kinds of work. A person becomes like a jack of all trades, because then you never really master any of them. But to learn one thing or two things and be really good at them, that's good. But to learn a whole bunch of things and you don't get good at any of them, that's what we're talking about. Next, yayin, wine, the shena, sleep, chamin, hot liquids, it actually says to bathe in or to drink, vachkodas dam, and bloodletting. Next, shmoinim amatim efazera, there are eight things that reduce the amount of seed that a man produces, ve'elein, hamelach, salt, the hargaav, hunger, v'hanesek, tzaras, v'chia, crying, v'shina al-gabekaka, sleeping on the ground, v'gabgedonios, Rashi,
really on the ground,
I guess, yeah. Gabgedonios, Rashi translates with a word which means coriander, cilantro, the spice that they use. There are other, in later Lashon Kodesh, somehow the word gabgedonios came to mean cherries. In modern Hebrew, in pre-modern Lashon Kodesh, not in modern, they call it the Devarim, but in pre-modern Lashon Kodesh, Gudgudadius came to mean cherries. So maybe it means that over here also, I don't know. Ukshus shaloi bizmana, and kshus, which is hops that they put into beer, as a flavoring, out of season. The Gemara will explain in a few lines, and on the day is what the season is for it. And the eighth thing, the hakodas dam lamata piflayim. And letting blood from the lower half of the body is twice as bad as any of the other things. Tana, kashem shem kosha lamatsu kiflayim, kach yoko lamatsu kiflayim. Just as much as in the bottom half of the body it's twice as bad for you, so in the upper part of the body it's twice as good for you. So what's the dividing line? Amar Rapapa. Lamatsu means lamatsu min abeisim. Below means below the basin, on the legs, on the feet. So bloodletting is very bad for you over there. Lamaila means lamaila min abeisim. For example, Rashi says on the shoulders, the neck, the pelvis, those places it's good for you. What about the kshus shaloi bizmana? We said hops out of season. We said are no good for you. Tana, we learn in advice. It's shem shekosher shaloi bizmana. Just as much as they're bad for you out of season, kach yofa bizmana. So they're good for you when they're in season. What's the season? Amar Papa. Zmana is tamuz. The season for them is tamuz. So then hops are good for you. Shaloi bizmana is tevis. Yom nisim, v'yom tishrei, during the spring and the fall, loy malu v'loy kosher. They're neither good nor bad. They're neutral.
Really winter,
anyway. Basically. But I mean, on the face of it, the Gemara is just talking about 4 months of the year. Tamuz, Tishrei, the four months, the beginning of the season. The Rosh Hashanah says that, yeah, it extends to the season in general. When we say Tamuz, we mean Tamuz of Elul, basically, etc. And the same thing with the rest of it. Getting back now to the main topic of the Perek, which is about Kisin, about appointing people as a shliach for them. The Mishnah said, "Oma kisvu gedli." We have the case: a person says to shluchim, "Write a get for my wife." But also, and when he was normal, but also kudiyakus, then he was seized by kudiyakus, the thing that seized the person who drinks too much new wine. That's how we got into this whole discussion, into this whole medical discussion. And then while he's in the grip of Kuryakos, he says, don't write it. The Mishnah said, and Dvar Bachar and Klum, his last word don't count for anything. He's under the influence, basically. So the question is, what does it mean, and Dvar Bachar and Klum? Amr of Shimon Lakish, Kutzman Nice and Get Baalter. So Rish Lakish says it means you can write the get right away. The guy, is suffering from Kuryakos. Doesn't matter. He gave the instructions while he was still healthy. So therefore, you can go ahead and even write it. And even write it and even deliver it while he's out of his mind. But Rabbi Yochanan Amar, no. In Kozman Ela Lachshi Shtapen. No, you can only write the get. After he recovers. We don't say, as the Gemara is going to say in a second, we don't say that after he recovers you have to check with him again. You can assume his previous instructions are still valid. But you can't actually write the get while he's suffering from Kuryakos. My time is Shlokish. What's the Shlokish's reason? The reason is Katani, because the Mishnah said, Ein v'dvarim achrayim and klum. What he said at the end doesn't count for anything. Doesn't count for anything means on the face of it, but yeah. So he said, don't write the get, but he's suffering from Kuryakos. So we ignore that. No. The Mishnah said two cases. One, the first case of the Mishnah was that the guy has Kuryakos, and while he has Kuryakos, he says, write a get for my wife. That's for sure no good. Everybody agrees that's no good, because while he has Kuryakos, he's not in his right mind. This is what we're talking about the second case in the Mishnah. He said, write a get for my wife. Then he started suffering from Kuryakos. Now, while he has Kuryakos, he says, don't write the get. So Rish Lakish is saying, we completely ignore that. Even while he has, not only we completely ignore it, because what the Mishnah is saying, but even while he still has Kuryakos, go ahead and write the get and give it. That's what he says. Ain't b'dvarim achrayim klum. What he said doesn't count for anything. So he said beforehand, write the get, so it's okay to do it while he has it. V'Rav Yechanan Amalach, Rav Yechanan would say, ain't b'dvarim achrayim klum doesn't mean that, it doesn't mean what you say. It means l'chim mitzil like tzarach l'mehader mulchidei. It means when he clears up, when he gets over the Kuryakos, you don't have to check with him again, do you still want the get written? In that sense, it's ain't b'dvarim achrayim klum. We don't say because he said, don't write the get means he changed his mind. We ignore that. But the fact is, you have to wait to write it until he actually recovers. That's the point. In other words, that you can go based on his original instructions. You don't say that what he said while he had Kuryakos has any effect. However, you can't actually give the get while he has Kuryakos. Well, so we're going to talk about it as the Gemara goes through. But I'll tell you actually, the Rambam, all the poskim passing like Rabbi Yechanan, because the usual rule is Rabbi Yechanan versus Rish Lakish. The halacha is usually like Rabbi Yechanan. However, there seems to be a difference. The Rambam says that the get is posel, and then whenever the Rambam says posel, it usually means derabanan, and that's the Kesef Mishnah says so. That's explicitly that's what the Rambam means over here. The Torah says it ain't a get, meaning that's not a get. It's not even valid deraita if you were to do it while actually, they're talking about where he's a shoita, but the Gemara is going to explain over here that in a certain sense, Kuryakos is life shoita. Because when the guy is a shoita, he's not capable of divorcing. So everybody agrees, all the poskim hold that it's no good. And actually, even Rish Lakish would agree that a shoita is no good. He just makes a distinction between a shoita and Kuryakos, as the Gemara is going to say in a few lines. But the question is, does it mean it's possible to arise, or does it mean it's only possible to get up on? Hey, the Maikom, what's the underlying machlokes? Rish Lakish medamel eliyoshin, v'Rabbi Yechon medamel eliyoshin. Rish Lakish compares a person with Kuryakos to a person who's sleeping. If he gave instructions to write the get while he's awake, and then he fell asleep, you can still continue delivering it. Same thing over here. Rabbi Yechanan and Damei Lelah Shoyte, Rabbi Yechanan compares it to a Shoyte. A Shoyte for sure, if you can't deliver a get while he's a Shoyte. So therefore, Rabbi Yechanan figures this is the same thing. Okay, the question is, Rabbi Yechanan and Nami Lidmei Eliyoshin? Fine, why doesn't Rabbi Yechanan consider, why doesn't he accept the comparison to a sleeping person? The answer is, Yoshin Lai Mechosa Maisa, because with a sleeping person, you don't have to do anything. Eventually, he'll wake up on his own. Hi, Mechosa Maisa, this person, you need to heal him. You need what the Gemara had mentioned at the beginning of the parak, the bistra sumka agumri, the lean meat roasted on the coals and the diluted wine. You need to give him a treatment in order to no, that was for impotency, but So you need a mice.
I'll try that on YouTube.
Yeah, we learned that you're not supposed to use these reports nowadays.
What does it take it
the blood out, right?
Well, taking the blood anyway, but that's the chlal. All of these refuahs that the Gemara had given almost from the beginning of the Perek until now, it's brought in, it goes all the way back to the Galonim, actually, but it's brought in a number of Sifri Rishonim and Achronim. You're not supposed to use these refuahs nowadays for a number of reasons. Mishtanu Ativim, people's natures are different, maybe they only work in certain climates, such as Babel. The Chavis Yor says maybe the Gemara didn't give us all the details for each one. The Chlal, for a lot of them, it's hard to identify what the disease is and what the specific ingredients are. So if you use them and then it doesn't work, you're going to end up thinking, okay, so, you know, the Chachamim don't know what they're talking about. That's going to lead you to Sfeikus and Emunah in other areas. So it's brought in various places that there's only one refuah of all the ones that I mentioned all over Shas. There's only one that you're allowed to use nowadays, which is one that's mentioned in Masechta Shabbos, where for a person has a bone stuck in his throat. That you take some of the same type of food that he choked on, but I think put it on his head or something, if I remember correctly, and you say a certain lachash. That's the Ma'aril brings this. Other people bring it. That is Bodiku Menusa. That's known to work even nowadays. But all the other ones you're not supposed to.
And these people turn over copper notes or something, and they might find it.
That's a different
thing.
That's a different thing. Yeah, that's.
But we went heavy on
a
celery when my wife
was
stepping up
in the company. And I think it was an almost. Okay. Celery is basically
very, very.
Very bright, I think, right. Or whatever. Yeah, I think what I said. Yeah. Okay. Anyway, let's continue. Okay. So the difference is a sleeping person, you don't need to do anything to wake them up. A person with cardiacus, you need to treat them. Therefore, it's not the same thing. Said, "Ver shlokish nami min miyel shayta." Fine, why doesn't a shlokish compare a person with kur diyakus to a shayta? The answer is shayta le sami biyodim, because a shayta, we don't have a sam, we don't have medicine available to cure him. Hi, sami biyodim. In the case of kur diyakus, we have the cure available. This was sumgagum rivachamamaka. We have. We can feed him this meat and this wine and cure him. So it's not the same thing as a shayta. Yeah.
So, sorry, the meat and wine cures
for
what?
It's a cure for kur diyakus. So we said at the beginning of the parable, if the person drank too much new wine, freshly squeezed, or maybe it's still, maybe
he's in a high.
Or whatever, maybe it's a high, maybe whatever it is exactly, yeah. Yeah, intoxicated, delirium tremens, you know, everybody has their own idea what it is exactly, yeah. Anyway. Okay, question is, did Rabbi Yochanan really say this, that when the person is, because got suffered from kurdiakos in the middle, that you can't write the get as long as he's suffering from it? Basically that if the person is not completely in his right mind, that you can't give the get, all that's the case. But Amr of Yehuda Amr Shmuel, but we have a din that Rabbi Yehuda said in the name of Shmuel, Shochet by Shnaim or Rav Shnaim, if a person was shechted through two, or most of the way through two of the pipes in his throat, the windpipe and the esophagus. So he can't speak anymore. The Ramaz v'Amar, but he signaled and said, he said, "Kisvu get leishti, write a get for my wife." Now, how would he do that if he can't speak? So Tosfos says, for example, they asked him, as they did in the Mishnah, for the case of a person who had a stroke or whatever. They asked him, "Should we write a get?" And he nodded. Because he's still conscious. There's still blood. There's still a little bit of blood. I mean, he's losing a lot of blood. But he's still conscious for the time being. And actually, Tosfos says that in the case in the Mishnah where the person, let's say, had a stroke and became mute, you actually have to be boyder him, as we'll learn tomorrow, that you have to check him, make sure he's still in his right mind, make sure he knows the proper answers to yes and no questions. In this case, where he was checked, maybe you don't even need to do that. Because you have no particular reason to think yet that he's not in his right mind. Okay, he's becoming very weak from loss of blood, but for Pashas, he still has his mental faculties. By the way, Tosfos points out the question is not really only on Rabbi Yochanan, this question that we're going to ask. The question really is kind of on Rish Lakish as well. Rish Lakish is distinguishing between a shoita and kurdiakos, but he agrees that you can't give a get from the guy who's a shoita. And yet we see from this case that it seems, on the face of it, the guy may not be in his right mind, and then yet you can still give the get. So Shochet Meshnaim and Rav Shnei, Ramaz V'Amar Kitzvu Get Leishti, he signaled and said, write a get for my wife, Hareli Yistu V'Yitru, then they can go ahead and write it and write it and give it. See, you're not worried that the guy may not be in his right mind. The answer is Hachi Ashta. How do you think to compare the two cases? Hasim Daita Tzibusuhu, in that case, when the person was, when the person's throat was cut, his mind was clear. Chishusuhu Daskilabay, he's just getting weak and he's soon going to die from loss of blood or whatever it is. But his mind is still clear. Here, in this case, with Kurdiakos, in a more general case of Shaita, we know his mind is not clear. Now, with that said, Tosfos said that when a get, Tosfos said specifically in the case of a get shivra, that if a shivra asks to have a get written for his wife, you have to be careful, the Rishon says, that he doesn't lose his mind between the writing of the get and the giving of it. Because we're saying over here, if the guy becomes a shoiter, and even a shlokish would agree if he becomes a shoiter, even if afterwards he recovers, no good. And sometimes the shivra may not be completely in his right mind. But then it just says the difference is, okay, with the person whose throat was cut, fine. Until you know that he's deranged, then that's different. Until you know that his mind is stopping to function. But in the case of a shlimmer, or in the case of a kurdiyaku, or shoyter, or whatever, that's something to be concerned about. Okay. Now the question becomes, did Shmuel himself really say such a din? That the person, both of the pipes in his neck were shechted, which means that he's almost dead, and yet you can still write a get. If one person cut the two pipes, or most of the two pipes, in another person's neck, and then he ran away, then they can give edus on him that he ran away, meaning the person whose throat was cut. So he still has enough strength to be able to start running away. Nevertheless, they can still say edus on him that he's dead and allow his wife to be married, because you know he's going to die, you know he's not going to be able to survive such a thing. So if he's still considered alive to the extent that you can write a get, then how can we give edus? Then how can we give edus on him that he's dead? Amri said, "Answer, okay. Chai who was safe alone was fine. Right now he's alive, but he's pretty soon going to be dead. By the time you get around to going to Beis Din and giving edus and Beis Din passing that his wife can remarry, yeah, he'll be dead." Elamah, the one asked in that case, based on that logic. Then in that case, suppose that one person does that to another person accidentally, then he should have to go in Golos for it. He should have to go to the Arei Mikvah for it. If Reuven accidentally, without realizing, maybe he thinks that it's an animal, whatever it is, he shechts the two pipes and Shimon's neck, we're saying that on the face of it, based on what Shmuel says, right now he's alive, but he's soon going to die, that should be reason enough to send Reuven to the Arei Mikvah. Alomatanya, so why isn't it in fact not so? We learned in a Braisa, Shochet Veshnaim or Rev Shnaim, how is it ain't a Gola? But no, if you shech the two pipes, or most of the two pipes, in another person, then he isn't going to Gola. Why is that? The answer is Ha'itma Allah, because we said on this, Amar of Hoshia, we learned this at the end of Yuvamas as well. I skipped a few lines back there. Let me go back a little bit. No, I didn't. I left out the Maguya de Solo part. I left this out. I left out the Tanya. Yeah, I'm a line beginning with Yitnu. I skipped a few lines over there. I skipped a few lines after that. Okay. The Tanya, we learned in a Braisa that another case, if they see a person is chopped up and a person has been like slashed with a sword in many places, or it's solo, a la flipper, or he's hanged, or he was hanged, or crucified, or whatever. Maguya means he was cut up. Solo means he was hanged, or crucified, or whatever. The Roma is Alma Kitzvah Gethleish. And again, he signaled and said, write a get for my wife. I really used to believe him. Then he can write and give it a get. And again, the answer is the same thing in Shmuel's thing as in the Braisa, that his mind is still clear, he's just getting weak. Okay. Getting back to where we were. So, Alma Tanti says, Shachat Veshnaim Erev Shnaim Harezei Negola. The answer is, Ho'itmar Allah, because don't you know that there was also a statement of Amaroyim that was said on that? Amar Rav Hoshea, Chayshin and Shem Aruch Bilbaltai. Because in the case of a person whose throat was cut, yes, obviously the first person, is the major cause of his death, but there is actually, after all, there's a possible second cause. It could be that also the wind messed him up. The air affected him. The wind blew out some of the blood that he might have been able to survive longer and heal, whatever. Inami, or another possibility, who kidabas misase? The person himself, when he struggles around in his death throes, he may cause himself to die faster. So therefore, yes, we can say sofa chayhu v'sofa lomas, he's alive, he's soon going to die. However, you still can't send the person who cut his throat to the Arei Mikvah, because there's always the possibility that without either of these factors, without one or the other of these factors, he might have lived. Or he might have lived longer, at least. No, but the point is what you have, when you send a person... It's basically Zev Ezek Goyim, but the point is you only send a person to the Arei Mikvah when you know that what the action that he did is... That's definitely what killed the other person. Here, there's a certain amount of time from when the throat is cut until he dies, and there's always that possibility. The Gemara says, okay, my benai, what's the practical difference between these two answers? The answer is, ikabenai, the shach, the base of the shisha, upirkas. The difference, now, Tosfos, by the way, before we give the answer, Tosfos points out, if he killed him amazed, then yes, there's no question, he's chayiv nisa regardless. We don't look at any of these secondary factors. Only when it comes to the Ore Mikra do we consider these secondary factors as possibly posturing him from Galus. My benai, the Gemara says, what's the practical difference between the two answers about the wind or about him himself struggling and then causing himself to die sooner? The answer is ik benai, the shach to the base of the shisho pirkus. What difference could be supposed that when he cut his throat was in a marble house, basically airtight? They used to use it. The Gemara mentions them in a couple of places in Shas. They used to use buildings like that were built with marble walls as operating theaters, basically, because they were fairly airtight. So outside air with germs in it, everyone get in. The light pirkus. So even though he didn't pirkus. So even though he moved around, at least you can say, okay, maybe he moved around. That might have made him die faster. But you can't say it's a ruach because there wouldn't have been any ruach over there to cause him to die. Inami, or the other way around, the shachter b'dvar of Olay Pirkus. The other way could be the other way around. He shechted him outside, but he wasn't mefarkus, he didn't move. So then you can't say who cared about misasa, but there's still the possibility of ruach. So in either, now it seems, by the way, it sounds like even
ruach, I mean, it's still indirect.
If by ruach, right, that's the point. No, so the point is, it seems from the Gemara that if neither factor, if for example, if it was in a base at the shisha, if it was in the marble building, and he wasn't the Francis, it sounds from the Gemara like in that case you would send the guy to the Ottoman club. The Rambam actually says it's one or the other. In either of these cases, the Rambam says you would send him to the Ottoman club, and the Mephoshim said the Rambam would take the view, basically, that even though, yes, we're saying maybe you have a way to pater him from the Ore Mikra, the fact is he's being sent there as a kapara, so if there's a sophic, then send him there on the safe side, let him get his kapara over there. Interesting detail about that halacha and Rambam, by the way. I think I told the story at the end of Yevamos as well, where we had this gemara. The Rambam himself writes in one of his Truvas that one time one of the Dayanim of Alexandria came to him showing him this halacha in the Yad HaChazaka. The Rambam read it. Okay, what's the problem? The Dayan says, where's the source for this halacha? The Rambam says, the source. Probably it's at Hedron or Marcus. Those are the parts. Those are the places. In Shas, where it talks about the dinim of Ritzicha, the dinim involving killing and going to the Ore Mikra. The guy says, I looked there. I didn't find it. The Rambam thinks for a bit. He says, I think maybe it's in Gittin. Takes a Gittin off the shelf, starts looking. He can't find it. Apparently, somehow he missed the Or Gemara. The guy leaves. Later on, the Rambam remembers and sends somebody to run after him and tell him, I found where it is. It's at the end of Yevamos. The Gemara is also repeated at the end of Yevamos. And the Rambam says, that made me think, you know what? Here I wrote the Yad HaZaka, the Mishnah Torah, without any Maror Makomos. And everybody has a problem with that. In fact, that was one of Ravid's problems. A number of the other Chachamim of that period had a big problem with the Rambam. Why are you not showing your sources? Nobody can figure out where you got your dinim from. The Rambam said, that made me think, you know, I really ought to write such a sefer, to give. Melech has, for example, a din in Hilchos Ritzeach that comes from Sanhedrin or Makkos. Okay, everybody knows to look there. But something like this, where it's in some oddball place, like Yevamos or Gittin or whatever, I should really write such a sefer to note it. In the end, in the event, the Rambam never had a chance to write such a sefer, but that's a lot of the work, a lot of the Noisik Kalim of the Rambam, beginning all the way from the beginning and going all the way down to the Rebbe, was all the job of trying to find the Rambam's detailed sources for every single thing.
The Mishnah says that when you say something, you have to say it in the name of the person who said it.
Right. I mean, the Rambam's reason was because he wanted to have a short, practical sefer of halachas for everybody, and putting in the opinions would confuse the matter. But yeah.
Hey.